Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2:3. I really want to do something that I think Jesus wants. I want to point out something incredibly. See, the gospel of Christ is the most. It is so revolutionary when this truth came forth and was heralded by the apostles, and the foundation was laid, and Paul was such an instrumental part of this. To bring out the message of what God had brought. He didn't bring an improved religion. He didn't improve the law. He didn't bring us into an inclusiveness into the Israel that was existing. He brought us into all things new. All things new. And it was a fledging operation to get started. What does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? So Paul is instrumental. And I want to read verse 12, chapter Philippians 3, 12, just about four verses. And I want to take us to Ephesians 2. I want to show you something that's going to blow your mind. But if we will accept the Bible as truth and believe it, even if we don't understand it, there's a possibility we can make really radical change. I believe we are in this situation so that the church can grow up. I do not believe all the other issues, they're all there. But the primary purpose that God the Father is overseeing is he says, I want to mature my bride. I've got to bring her up into Christ, and I've got to get her submitted back to my word and live inside of my truth, and I got to get her engaged so that each member is growing up in all things into him. Each member, every member growing up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. So that's, for me, my goal is that I want to come out of this into Christ. I want to go all the way. So now, Paul, this is one of his last letters he writes. And this is the same, he says, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. Now, we may get through this whole chapter, probably not, but this is a good chapter. This is a whole chapter of the Christian journey, of the walking with Christ. He said, not that I've already attained to the resurrection from the dead, nor have I already been perfected in love. But I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. We were laid hold of with a purpose. He's over us. He's pulling us up into himself. He says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. Now, he wasn't saying, I hope I'm saved. I hope when I die, I go to heaven. I hope I will be lived enough. He's totally going, I'm touching resurrection life. I haven't got a hold of it fully. I haven't apprehended it. But there's a place of resurrection life that I've been apprehended for. There's a perfection in the love of God that I'm touching. I haven't apprehended it yet. But one thing I do, and this is what every one of us, the older you are, you have to practice this because you've got a lot more reasons not to. The one thing I do, forgetting these things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. That's not the one thing I do. I have to do this to do the one thing I do. Because if I don't forget what's behind, put it out of mind, and then start reaching toward the future, try and place that in front of you, then you don't see what the future is because you're living in the past. We are of people that are just turning in circles right now, chasing things that are aggravating, anger, or frustrating, and all of a sudden the Lord's just standing up in the middle of this, like he did in the water when it was a storm, and he's saying, "We come." I press toward, the one thing Paul did is I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward. So he, Paul, says, I press toward the goal. That's a funny word. It's where we get the word skeptic. And it means it's a bit of a hidden, it's like searching for a treasure in a field. Like the goal. What is the goal is this prize. The prize is the award. What is the award? It's an upward call of God. God calling us upward. inside Christ Jesus. The next 3 weeks, we're going to spend intentional, purposeful application to living inside of Christ, to pray inside of Christ, to praise inside of Christ. And if you take it, we can do this. We will all grow up. We will come up levels. I mean, levels of authority, levels of anointing, levels of joy, levels of victory, levels of breakthrough, because we are moving from the spectator, not even just the participant, but to the minister level, to the minister level, to grow it up. And so this is the goal. Now, you say, I don't really want that to be my goal. Doesn't matter. God didn't ask if, would you like another goal? If you like another goal, I'll get you plan B for you. No, this is your goal. And now you think, an upward call of God in Christ Jesus, upward call. What would that look like? I mean, what does that mean? I got to turn into a minister? No, it means I'll show you what it means. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's begin in verse 1. Ephesians 2. I live in Ephesians 1. And recently, I'm graduating to Ephesians 2 because it's the application. And when we get to Ephesians 3, we will be ruling. By the time we're in Ephesians 3, we are declaring to the principalities and the powers the manifold wisdom of God that is in the church in Christ Jesus. The church starts to say, okay, now, second heaven, clear out. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. We're inside Christ. We're rising up with Christ. We're living through Christ. We are fully in. But here's where we started. And you, me, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. Literally, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of love, he loved us. He can't help but love humanity. He loves every person. He has the same desire for everyone he loves. So what did he do? Even when we were dead in trespass. Now, this is what I want. This is going to be a real shift, but if you can just step into this and meditate and worship with around, you will begin to see why we can live a life in Christ that has nothing to do with the life we're being walking through, with the circumstances of life. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Now we're going to see three togethers. So happy together. Oops, not supposed to. Happy together. Together. It's a union. So when Christ was made alive, we were made alive. Right then. We were not made alive when we got saved. That was when we answered the call and awakened to the life that was already in place. Faith is what saves us. When we hear and we believe, we step in. But it isn't like God saying, I've got another 13 people down there in California. They need a salvation. They need the healing. It's all happened in this moment. So when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive with Christ. So we got people living in the planet right now, dead in trespasses, that are actually alive in Christ. But because they don't know it, they won't receive it, they won't believe it, they won't confess it, they won't resubmit to him, they're going to keep living in their death. But it isn't because God's saying, you guys are all so bad until you repent really wonderfully. I'm not going to give you any of this good stuff. No, it's all given at one moment. And raised us up together. Now, we're going to start getting the reason why it's an upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And raised us up together. So we were raised up. Resurrection. When he was resurrected, we were resurrected. That's why Paul's saying in Philippians 3, he says, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to be conformed to his death, that if by any means I might arrive and attain to the resurrection from the dead. This is not, this was the pursuit. So he raised us up together in union. This is like we were, when he was raised, we were raised. And made us sit together. This is the third together. Sit together. Made alive together, raised together, sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is for every member of the living body of Christ. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. If you can step in here, you can step into the future. Because this was given to us when time began. This was the destiny we were all given. Step inside, sit down in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, in is a really important preposition. It speaks to relationship we are to have with Christ Jesus, and that is inside him. He's not far away. He dwells in our heart by faith, and we are positionally inside of him. And the way Jesus said it in John 15, he says, I need you to abide in me and let my words abide in you. And then basically anything you ask, we'll just work it out together completely because we will be in communion. You will be submitted to my purposes. You will see my heart. You'll understand my ways. You'll know what authority you have. You know the way my covenant should work. So come inside of me and let my words abide in you. And so here we are raised up together to made sit together in the heavenly places. So we may be in earth walking through life. That's reality. Truth is we are in Christ, alive, raised, and seated in heavenly places. We may be walking through some really bad things. We may be in some really difficult conflicts. But the truth is we are alive in Christ, raised with Christ, and seated with Christ in heavenly places. Now, why does that matter? Because if we were brought into Christ, there's no other way into the kingdom, and there's no other solution God had for humanity. He could not improve religion. Christianity is not Judaism improved. Christianity is a man, Christ, Jesus, made Lord, made high priest. In him, we have all now been given salvation, healing, deliverance. We all have been called. We all have an inheritance. And we are his inheritance. He is our inheritance. We have been merged in. We were brought into a man who's seated, and we are now seated with him. And it's a beautiful picture because it's a returning to grace, to the glory of grace, to the glory of God caring for us in every way. He says that in the ages to come, eons, new seasons, new millennials, the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. Papa, our Father, in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Not, this is a, because of we're in Christ. When I appear in the presence of Father and in the Holy of Holies, and I am in Christ. When he looks at me, he sees Christ over me. And when he sees me, he sees Christ. When he sees Christ, he sees me. He can't separate me from Christ. And thank God for that. Amen. Even though I act some pretty bad, you know, when you were dead in your trespasses, we can disappear and for a season go off someplace. But in Christ, all it takes is faith. Faith activates everything that was given, and we step back in. Now, the key, though, is we want to learn how to stay there. We want to learn how to live there. He said, I want you to dwell here. If you can dwell there, it means you don't have to dwell there. If you can abide, does mean you have the freedom not to abide. We can abide in our troubles. We can abide in our fears. We can abide in our uncertainties. We can our prejudices, our anger, our attitudes, our soul. We can abide in our soul and miss the spirit. We can abide in our flesh. But he says, I want you to sit here because I want to just do good things to you. This is why it's so exciting for me in this shutdown. And I don't, because I just go, you're just making everything smaller. So we can go through the little hole. We get through that rabbit hole, we're going to come into a big, big, broad place of complete sufficiency of God, the all sufficiency of Jesus Christ. The complete sufficiency that he is everything. He said last week, tell him I sit on a throne. I said, what do you want me to say this week? Tell him I can do anything they need me to do. I am everything they need me. I am everything. I am the everything. Well, let me see if I can ask the Father if he'll do that for you. I am. Everything of the Father is mine. Everything that I have, I will offer. I am healing. I'm everything. For by grace we have been saved through faith, that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So this upward call of God, alive, raised, seated, to be an object of grace for the rest of eternity. A grace trophy is who we are. A grace trophy. And we have a purpose that was given, a workmanship that we were given before time. It's all in Christ. We are created in Christ for good works, and these were given to us beforehand. And we're wandering around the earth going, man, things aren't working the way I want them to work. I don't feel this is fair. I don't like the way this is going. Yeah, of course. But the opportunity is in those moments. Where's Jesus? How is he relating to me in this moment? How am I to relate to him in this moment? What would he say to me in regards to this situation? How would I walk into that spirit of him? Let me take you to Romans 5, really. Romans 10. This is the short version of the problem. And then I'll take you to the answer and we'll pray. So I have a lot of time to pray. Not really lately with all the grandkids around the house and dogs. Oh, gosh. But that's part of the way he teaches us. If you really get a good revelation, the next thing I promise is coming is some real good tribulation. Because without the tribulation, the revelation just lays dormant like, ooh, that's a nice idea. But when the revelation is valued, because the tribulation's going, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do. God's saying, take what I gave you, take what I gave you. I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do. Take what I gave you, take what I gave you. I want this to go away, take what I gave you. And all of a sudden, somewhere along the line, we wake up and go, you know what, I think I'm just going to believe this. I'm going to live in it, I'm going to enjoy it, I'm going to experience it, I'm going to just do it. And life doesn't get to define me, Christ defines me. I am not going to try to change the situation I'm in, I'm going to be changed by Christ in the situation, I'm going to enjoy Jesus, not fight this. And all of a sudden, once you do that, tribulation did its purpose, it drove you into Christ. You went through the door, and all of a sudden you discover, whoa, this is another realm. It's another place. I'm seated. And all of a sudden this grace starts coming and joy starts coming and breakthroughs start coming and pleasures start coming. And all of a sudden we come back into glory, we were created to be sustained by God, never to be self-sustaining. We are not self-power machines. We have no power. At best, you're a battery. But for most of us, we're so self-conscious, we can't be God-conscious. We're so self-righteous, we can't receive righteousness. Therefore, we're fighting things because you're saying, if I don't, then I'm going to lose my identity because I've been building my identity in the way I work, the way I live, what I do. So Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. We can all be, want to be religious people, but if we don't know who we're serving and how the conditions are to which we relate to him, we may waste our time. And then one day you'll go, why am I being so good when I'm not getting me anything? And that's an older brother moment. Or we go, you know what, I'm never going to have any happiness in this kind of situation. I'm leaving to go do my own thing. That's a younger brother moment. That's a prodigal. We miss the point. We don't know the one we serve, and we don't know how to do it. So he says, I bear them witness. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness. That came with the fall. That will never leave until we leave it. We will always want to have our own righteousness. It's a safety mechanism. It's a kind of, you can't tell me I'm not allowed here. I have proof. I have a backup. They have not submitted to the righteousness of God. So you can, if we're ignorant of the righteousness of God, which is given to us in Christ Jesus, if we're ignorant of that righteousness, we will seek to establish our own righteousness. If we seek to establish our own righteousness, we cannot submit to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So once you met Christ, you can't be righteous anymore. You have been given the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You cannot be righteous anymore. So it's a waste of time to try to present yourself righteous. You're to receive the righteousness of God, which then affects us in every way. But it's never something we earn, own, or have a right to. It's something we are receiving. So go with me to Philippians chapter 3 really quick. And I know this is Paul's stuff at the end of his life. So verse 3, Philippians 3. But can I show this one, this man? I mean, he wrote the book, so he probably has a little bit of knowledge of how you get there. I want to get there. I don't really have any interest. Church life has been disrupted. The world is never going to be the same. Why try to go backwards? Let's go to the future. Let's go into the glory. Let's take over the earth. Let's mature as sons and liberate the planet. Let's do what everyone's crying out to save the environment. We need to become alive, and the living body will save the planet. So there, we are the circumcision. We are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. These are three things we can practice. Rejoice in Christ Jesus. Have no confidence in the flesh. We just practice worshiping God in the Spirit. We're going to practice that for at least 3 weeks. We might say, well, I'm not. Well, don't. But I am. Because it's something I've been called up to, and it's scriptural to worship God in the Spirit, to find that place where we get that connection. And the first time you do it, it's like, but that's because you weren't the worship leader before, but now you are the worship leader. If you don't lead yourself into worship, you're not going to worship. We boast, that's what rejoice. Rejoice is boast. We boast in Christ Jesus. Who are you going to brag about? Jesus Christ. He's glorious. He's good. He's kind. He's generous. All I talk about is Jesus Christ, because that's the only thing we're talking about. Religion is just man occupying space to try to control himself and other people. It is what God came to dismantle. Religion was originated in Lucifer's heart, when he thought he could generate his own worship about himself and be like God or better than God or even get his throne above God. And once he did, that's iniquity. It's a self-willfulness. Submission to Christ is where we come back and say, I don't know how to sing with it. I pray. I don't know how to. You are my life. I don't want what I want. I want what you want. I want to live in a relationship with your provision. And I'm going to just trust you that you want to do kind things to me the rest of my life. You're going to just treat me kind, because he wants to show off how great his grace is by showing being kind to us. And kindness means I'm going to be helpful. So we boast in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. And here's where it gets nasty. Our flesh wants to look good. It wants to look so good that it took the idea of circumcision and inserted it back into the church to say you had to be circumcised after you believed to fully be saved. And Paul says in Galatians, the only reason we do that is because we want to look good in the flesh. The flesh is not going to look good. Just tell your flesh, sorry, you're going to get a new body and you're going to look hot. But for the rest of this season, your flesh is going to be weaker and he's going to get stronger. And the stronger he gets, you may find the faster you're not as strong in the flesh. We put no confidence. I'm not trusting that I'm a good person. I'm a disciplined person. I have good morals. I'm generous. I don't put any strength in that. I boast in Jesus, no confidence in the flesh. I boast in Jesus, no confidence in the flesh. though I also might have confidence in the flesh. This is now Paul speaking from the old man. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. That's why he was chosen by God to bring the gospel of grace forward in Christ, because he didn't need it. But he did need it, because everybody needs it. There's no, the world needs to, the forgiveness is the only great place to live and to be never responsible for anything, but let Christ be responsible for everything. But in this dependency, in this abiding, in this dwelling, in this practice, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone, I was circumcised the eighth day. He had a good beginning. He started off right. They didn't do it the seventh day, the ninth day. They did it on the eighth day. That's the day you're supposed to circumcise all Hebrew male children. I started off right. I was of the tribe of Israel, a Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I started from a good stock, good lineage, good upbringing. Concerning the law, a Pharisee. A Pharisee in that day was not a negative term. It was who you wanted your daughter to marry. They were upstanding. They were forthright. They had faith. They believed. They followed the law. They were not going to compromise. A Hebrew of Hebrews concerning the law of Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. I was intense, man. I was in this. I was living hard and strong, and I had good convictions, and I was committed to my convictions, and I went for it. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. That's a bold statement. But he was living there. That's why he had such hatred to the message of Christ, because it was an affront. It demands humiliation of the flesh to come into the freedom that he would give. Subjection. It's like the soul. I was telling everybody on the dwell class, when your soul will finally just submit and say, well, whatever the Bible says is true, and I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to praise it, and I'm going to magnify that truth. And I'm going to just come inside there, and I'm going to take my instrument of magnification, and I'm going to just turn it on the truth of God's word, and I'm going to just let that thing rip. Now your soul starts prospering. Instead of going, well, I would, but I have some issues, and I'm tired, and I don't like the way you make me do things, and I don't think I should have to do what I don't feel like doing, and if I don't feel like doing it, I just don't think I'd be honest. Shut up. Your soul needs to just say, listen, soul, bless the Lord. That's your job. And when you bless him, don't forget anything. Just mention everything. He's good. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. If you do that to your soul, after a little while, your soul goes, okay, okay, sure thing. See, your soul is like a selfish child. It has no discipline in it. Nobody's ever said no to it. And we live in a culture that is just satiating the soul with nothing. Entertainment, ideas that are self-serving. And then they build it. So all of a sudden your soul comes into Christ, awakened, raised, seated. And your soul's going, wait a minute, I don't understand all this. I like the idea of being lifted up and exalted. I'm all for being exalted. But what about this there and that? And I have to sit and submit, and I have to go this route. And I'm not sure if I'm all in on that. And our soul will sulk. Our soul will have a fit. Have you, right? Am I just the only one who just acts up like that? You know, God, I can't believe it. After I gave myself to you, after I committed to a revival, after I won, I gave away everything. Now I have nothing, and the revival went away, and I just don't know if I can trust you. See, that's a soulish dark night. It's the crisis of the soul coming into submission, and it's not easy. There's no, watch what Paul says. He says, but what things were gained to me? These I've counted loss. For Christ. We're going to see the word for three times. And literally as a preposition, it shouldn't be for as though it was for you, but it was through as though it was because of you. Because of you, Jesus. Because I came into Christ, I counted the loss. I counted. Counted means I went forward. This was my first response. Christ just took another thing from me to give me something far greater in the future. But the immediate, I have to trust that the moment I'm in a tribulation, but he wants me to rejoice. I'm in a tribulation, but he said, I rejoice. But I don't think the tribulation will be resolved if I just rejoice. I think we need to do is solve the tribulation. Just fix the tribulation and then I'll feel good. And he says, no, I don't want to fix the tribulation. I want you to rejoice. Tribulation can stay here as long as you want because it's building a patience model to bring you into a perfection in my love. So just rejoice. No, I'm not going to rejoice. I have a right. Sure you do. But he said, rejoice always. It's my greatest go-to. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, everything give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, 18. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. For you, for me. See, I'm in Christ Jesus. You see, the problem is I'm in Christ Jesus. I don't get to get out of Christ Jesus. I can't say, Christ Jesus, I love the idea that I have a new beginning. I love the fact that shame's not bothering me. I like the idea to think that I'm righteous. I'm really keen on going to heaven. I like the prosperity message. I'm really okay, too, with healing. That's wonderful. But the idea that I just got to follow you into this new glorious future, and it's going to be kind of dicey at times. He said, what things were gained to me, these I counted loss. Yet indeed, I count all things loss for or through the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Now, I hate to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you the truth. The more you know Jesus, the more you're going to lose. The more you know Jesus, the more the act of coming into union, communion, you will lose. But I want to give you the good news today. Don't waste your losses. We are like the Las Vegas of heaven. It's time to cash in your losses. We don't cash in our gainings. We don't advance because we have chips. We get blessed because we lost it. It says, I count all things lost through the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, through whom I've suffered the loss of all things. And that word is a violent suffering. The suffered the loss of all things, meaning there's even, you know, it's like, I want to get rid of my sin. I want to get rid of my weight problem. I'd like to get into a better, healthy lifestyle. I'd like to have good relationships. I would like to feel good about myself, not like a, that's great, that's sin. But when God says, hey, I want your righteousness. I'd like that right, you know, that thing you hold as you're above other people because you don't do what they do. I want that. You're going, I'm not giving you that because this is my confidence that I have a relationship with you because I'm a good person. Oh, okay. And then that there's this stuff that just gets pride out of your hands. Has anybody had anything wonderful pride out of your hands and afterwards you like rolled over and you're trying to go, where did that come from? It came through the experience of submission to the only one who is good, to the only one who is righteous, to the only one who carries healing. He is the all. It's like a process of release in order to gain. Oh, yes, you're going to still do the Spirit and Bride song at the end. Okay, so we're going to end. But let me give you the good news. I count them all rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Beloved, I want to say to you that if you will take what you've lost and count it as rubbish and say, I want Christ in place of what I lost, you will gain Christ. Let me say it again. If I can take what I've lost and say, it's rubbish, I want Christ instead. I want Christ. I want Christ. Then I will gain Christ. And if I gain Christ, I'll be found in him. And how will I be found in him? Not having my own righteousness. Can you imagine the living church of Jesus Christ, the entire bride will one day say, only you, only you. You're the only one. You're the only one. All praise to you. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Because we won't have to sustain anything. We're free from, you know, being righteous is a, I don't know how if any of you notice it, but being righteous is time consuming. It takes all this energy to try to do good. And if I can just submit to Jesus, next thing you know, I'm just in his goodness. I'm just in his trust. I'm in his relationship. So he says, I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Paul, the apostle, had to give up what he would have considered and we'd consider gain in order to gain Christ and be found in Christ with no righteousness from the law. Because he's saying, I want Israel to be saved, but they're stuck on being righteous, so they can't get saved. They won't submit to salvation. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You don't get to know the power of his resurrection unless you are the fellowship of his sufferings. They flow together. Be conformed to his death, by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. So the apostle is saying, there's something so good. I've touched it, smelt it. Started the journey, cost me more than I was prepared for, but he's worth everything it's cost me. I'm going after it. Not that I've already attained, not that I've already perfected, but I press on. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I don't count myself to apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The upward call. This is what we're being called into. Perfection in love, resurrection, power, ascension, all these things. I'm going to just pray a simple prayer for all of us. If you'll just do it, we're going to cash in our losses and gain Christ. We're going to choose the gain that cost us everything. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, you've turned the church upside down. You've turned the world sideways. You've created havoc everywhere. You're not the author of any evil thing. You just let man act out, and man acts out. But you've also begun to beckon and awaken and call forth a people up into Christ, the high calling. And I know it's not something that can happen with the head. And I know the intellect isn't smart enough and the will is not strong enough and the emotions are not large enough to carry us into this future. The soul is not the help here. We need Holy Spirit. We need truth from the Word of God. We need to submit to the living Word and fellowship in this high place, in this upward call of God, in this out of. So right now, Father, I'm asking you by the Holy Spirit, come into our life and do an inventory. And when we're pining away in our losses and our soul is for refusing to advance because it didn't get what it thought it was going to get, you would start to speak to us and say, take your attention off of this, release it, let it go, and come inside of what I gave you and my son. My son's too big for you to carry those things anymore. Release them. Let them go. Release them. Let them go. Let them go. And come inside my son. Come inside my son. You don't have to sustain anything in my son. He is the source of everything, of righteousness, the core relational place. You are maturing, my bride. I'm calling you together to rise up with the church, with the Holy Spirit and the bride, because the earth needs to hear the call to come. Without the call to come, how will they respond? And they cannot be told what is right and what is wrong and what is right and what is wrong, because everyone thinks what they think is right and everyone thinks what they don't think is right is wrong. And they will not save the planet. They must see the sun and they must be called to drink and receive this good and beautiful place in my son. Awakened, risen, seated in my son. Step inside. Step inside. Step inside. I'm anointing by the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit's here to awaken anyone and everyone. I don't care if you've never been born again or you've always been born again. Say yes. I'm coming inside. It's safer inside. Safer inside right now to get inside of Christ. Now we have a new song that was written that's just going to call forth the Spirit and the Bride, as the Spirit and the Bride are going to call forth to come. And we can just soak in it receive it. And then after the song finishes, Larry and Melanie will begin our prayer for the nations. Everyone's going to be released. If you can stay with us in prayer, if you have to get going. I got to get going because Cammie's alone with the two kids, so I want to stay in good grace with my bride. Anyway, but grace to the song. Please just don't shout me down. Go talk to Jesus. Find him. You were made for much more than you're trying to pursue. Our world is way too small for what we're seeking to try to resolve. He's great.